Good morning. Thanks, Paul. So enjoy being with you guys on a Sunday morning, even if we're not really together at one level. We're so together in heart and spirit. I just love seeing your faces and long for those days when we can get together and hug again at some point. But I really appreciate the worship too this morning, Ali. Fantastic to have you leading us that way. Really loved it. So I'm excited about today. I'm excited about this term. You'll find out why as I talk. But how are you doing in lockdown? You know, these are strange days. They continue to be strange. And it's not surprising that there's a bit of anxiety around. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. There's a bit of fear around, maybe uncertainty about the future. And that's okay. It's okay to be real about those things and to experience those emotions. What's not okay is to dwell in them and to live from them. And I believe God is wanting us to live from his love, from a place of knowing that we're cared for and secure, that the promise of Jesus still stands, that nothing will by any means harm you. And I pray that you will know that this morning. Basically, we just need to be overwhelmed again by the love of God. That's my prayer for you today. It's my prayer for you every day this term, that we would all be overwhelmed again by our God. You see, River Church started 50 years ago nearly when a bunch of teenagers were overwhelmed by the presence of God. God was reminding the church at the time who we are. You see, the church was passionate, it was zealot, but it was a bit dry, a bit powerless. And God came by his spirit, by his presence, and poured himself out. And these teenagers were overwhelmed and they couldn't look at life the same again. And so River Church was born, and many churches like ours are born up and down the country as we were overwhelmed. You see, we're not meant to be rule keepers. We're not meant to be keepers of doctrine or truth, really. Although we do to a certain extent, we are those who've been overwhelmed by the kindness and love of God, aren't we? Do I hear an amen from out there in cyberspace? Come on. We're those who've received grace. We know grace. And therefore, our hearts are filled with joy, not because of the circumstances we live in, but despite the circumstances. We're people of a different kingdom, aren't we? Our citizenship is in a different place, thankfully. When you look around at what goes on in this world, we're not called to be holy hermits, huddled away in fear. We're called to be fearless adventurers, bringing the kingdom. We're called apostles because we're sent out to establish the kingdom. And that's who our Father would have us be in these days, people of the Spirit. And that's what this new series that we're going to be looking at this term is all about, people of the Spirit. It's got shortened to POTS. Well, I don't mind being a bit potty for Jesus. But we're people of the Spirit, and that's who we are. So I'm excited at the prospect of God loosing a whole army of fearless adventurers. Not that we can be disobedient to our authorities, but just to break us out of lockdown, break us out of any lingering sense of fear or insecurity about the future. And in doing that, we're going to follow the book of Acts. We're going to follow the stories of the early church and see their adventures in the Holy Spirit and see how God broke them out of lockdown. We're going to focus again and again and see how, as people of the Spirit, we are those who are born of the Spirit. We are those who are shaped by the Spirit. We are those who are led by the Spirit. And we are those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's my prayer simply that we all be overwhelmed. My prayer for you right now is that you'd be overwhelmed by the love of God. It's the only right response to his incredible love for us. Not only that, it's God's deepest desire. You see, the title of this first talk is The Longing of the Father, because it's God's longest, deepest desire that he would live in holy communion with you, uninterrupted fellowship with you by his Spirit. So the Bible is a story of God's desire for that, and how God works towards that, often despite us, often despite his friends, often despite those of us trying to do our best to facilitate it. He works to bring that about. And we're going to start our story by reading the first bit of Acts. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1. It's always good to read a bit of scripture. The former account I made, O Theophilus, this is Luke writing to his friend Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, that's the Gospel of Luke, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, look, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons by which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, or witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is a key moment in the biblical drama. All of history was leading up to the cross as God was seeking to reveal who he really was so that humanity would understand what God is really like. All of history since the cross has been about applying that truth. So the cross is seen as central to all of history. The whole of the Old Testament building up to it, history ever since has been about applying it, the kingdom coming. But it had a purpose, and that purpose was uninterrupted holy communion between God and humanity, between God and you and me. Let me explain. I want to go over, like all great theologians like to do, I want to go over the story, the big story, and show you how it's really one long desire for communion with us in the heart of the Father. So we have creation, and we're made children of God. Right in that very beginning, God makes it plain that he wants us to live as family, live together. Our destiny was to grow up under his care, to become like him. So he says we're made in his image. And in the midst of that creation story, I say this again and again because it becomes so important to me. Day two, when heaven and earth were separated, when God's dwelling place was separated from our dwelling place, God can't bring himself to declare it good. It's the only day in the whole of creation that God doesn't explicitly declare good, because God does not want to live apart from us. He wants to live with us. But yet a bit of separation was necessary so that we could freely choose to invite him to live with us. And of course, we know the story, don't we? That we chose at the fall, we chose in Genesis 3 to hide from God. We chose to wander from his presence, it says about Cain in chapter 4. And we've been hiding and wandering ever since. And the Bible is a story of this God seeking us out and bringing us home. And so this God doesn't give up. He persists and he reaches out for friendship with people in those early chapters, like Enoch and others, and Noah. And then we get to the story of Abraham, and he's called a friend of God. And Abraham and his descendants, the patriarchs. But yeah, it's like distant friends. If you read those stories, they don't really know the heart of God that well. And God only visits them maybe half a dozen times in their lifetimes. But they learn some great lessons about this God. And God does some amazing things. And by the end of that chapter, God and his friends are saving the whole world from the famine that would come upon them. But it moves on. The story then moves on to Israel and the creation of that nation. And during that, the Exodus, we learn about God's name, Yahweh. I am who I am. And God moves in next door in the tabernacle with the rest of Exodus. God becomes our neighbor in a sense, no longer distant friends, but he's now living and journeying with us. And of course, the law is given because we need it if we're going to live at peace with this fearful God. We're afraid of God, and maybe rightfully so, but we're afraid of God. And so he gives us the law so that we can live at peace with him and not live in fear. I haven't got time to unpack that today, but really that's how I see it these days. And then the prophets come and they lambast God's people because we don't live up to what he's called us to be. He's called us to be the light of the world, and we're not being the light of the world, the Jews weren't being the light of the world. And so they say there's something better coming, a new covenant, when God's going to pour out his spirit. And Paul read from Joel this morning, but there are other places we read in, like in Ezekiel this week, Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31, where God's promising his spirit is going to come. And then, of course, Jesus comes. And at Jesus' baptism, in Mark chapter 1, verse 10, it says, the heavens were torn open. Torn open. That separation between God's dwelling place and our dwelling place was torn open, and the Spirit comes. And so we get the sense in which that separation from Genesis day two, God wasn't so happy about, is being undone in the day of Jesus, in the day of his baptism. Heaven and earth being, well, the separating barrier being torn, and the Spirit of God coming and being on Jesus. Jesus opens the way for the kingdom to come, you see. He comes with that message, doesn't he? The kingdom, repent, the kingdom of heaven's near. And of course, the kingdom didn't come throughout all that history from Abraham all the way up through David. The kingdom didn't come. A kingdom came, but it wasn't the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven comes with Jesus by the presence of the Spirit. And Jesus teaches that. And he prophesies a time when the Holy Spirit is going to come. But not only that, he also reveals the Father. He reveals God for who he really is. He tells such great stories, like the parable of the prodigal son, where God's heart comes through and he welcomes one and all, Jews and non-Jews, sinners, everybody. It's an incredible story. And he promises the disciples, read about it this week in our readings, John 14, the Holy Spirit's coming. God's going to come and live with you. I'm going to come and live with you. The Father's going to come and live with you, it says in John 14, 23. We're going to come and live with you by the Spirit if you love one another. Wow. Just wow. The whole of history has been building to this moment. But there's one more death. Well, sorry, one more thing, one more enemy that needs to be defeated, and that is death, which is why Jesus goes to the cross willingly, showing that he's not even afraid of that because the Father is with him. And of course, God vindicates him. The Jews had no place for a crucified Messiah, but the Father shows that he's with him and raises him from the dead. And then that's where we are. That's the place of the story where Acts chapter 1 comes in. The dead, and now they're waiting, like Jesus asked them to do, waiting for something to happen, a bit fearful, a bit uncertain, hidden away, praying, yes. Rejoicing at one level because Jesus is alive, but where's he gone? They didn't really understand what Jesus was telling them in John 14. Living in some kind of confusion. So if you find yourself now living in a place of confusion, living in a place of fear and uncertainty, you're in good company, guys. That's where they were living at the time. But just like those early disciples, we're in need of a breakout, aren't we? And it comes by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It comes by the presence of God with us. It comes through being overwhelmed. It's time to be overwhelmed again. So next week, we're going to see how that happens. And we'll read Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost when God's Spirit is poured out, which is really exciting. Today, I want us to just take note that we're living in that moment. This is our kind of like Pentecost moment, I believe. And God is wanting to come again by his Spirit and pour it out again upon us. The Spirit comes because Jesus prophesied it and comes because we ask. So throughout this term, we're going to be looking at how we're people who are born of the Spirit. And that's what happens on the day of Pentecost. The church is like born. A new humanity is born because God and man are living together now. And these people are different. They're so different and they're living differently. So that's what we need, don't we? We need that point of the Spirit so that we live differently in these days from everybody else. And they were shaped by the Spirit. They lived with a new kind of love for one another, a new kind of generosity. And we'll read about that in Acts chapter 2 too. They were led by the Spirit to powerful encounters, one-to-one encounters, like Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And the salvation comes there, which is amazing. We want that, don't we, for ourselves? It's time for us to be led in one-to-one encounters by the Holy Spirit. To be empowered by the Spirit, like in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John are coming up to the temple and they heal the lame beggar. Gifts of healing are there in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of tongues, of prophecy, of mercy, of kindness, of leadership, of helping one another. These gifts are poured out liberally by the Holy Spirit as he empowers us to live with our God, for our God, being the true lights of the world that he'd always called his people to be. Called to be a kingdom of priests. See, God doesn't want just a few leaders organizing meetings, which the rest of us come to. He wants us all to have meetings of our own with those we live amongst, those we work amongst. That's his heart. I discovered that when I first got saved, and I loved the Bible. It was like drinking water on a hot day. It was refreshed me. So I used to read it two or three times a day. I read it at lunchtime at work. And during one of these times, a friend who I didn't know very well came up to me and said, "Is that the Bible you're reading?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Can I read it with you, please?" And so I said, "Of course you can." So we sat down and we used to read it together on Thursday lunchtimes. And he became a Christian. And we used to return from those sessions, you know, quite happy. And one lady in my office, an Irish lady, one day she says, "What do you guys do on a Thursday lunchtime? Are you taking drugs or something?" I said, "No, we're just reading the Bible together." And she says, "You can't be, I don't believe you." She was a Catholic and she just didn't believe us. And so I said, "Well, why don't you come and find out? You can join us." So she did. And after a few weeks, she bought herself a Bible. And a few months later, she became a Christian. And people said, "What have you done to her? She's worse than you." I took that as a compliment, by the way. I was a bit strange in those days, still am. And, you know, during those days, many people got saved. Some people that were backslidden in the faith came back to faith. It was just fantastic. Adventuring just by reading the Bible together. And that's the kind of adventures that God has for you and for me in these days with the people that we live amongst. I'm crying out for it again, guys. I want it again. I want it again, just for those opportunities. So my challenge to you this morning, my challenge to me, my heart's prayer is what Paul encouraged us to do in Ephesians 5:18. It says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It says, don't get drunk. Leads to dissipation, waste life. Don't get drunk on alcohol, but be drunk on the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be so overwhelmed with God that you live for him. And that's what I want. Is that what you want? Because if we do, I want to say it's time to be overwhelmed again. It's time to live in that uninterrupted holy communion that God longed for in Genesis day two. It's time to live with him 24/7. It's time to receive the Holy Spirit promised by Jesus in John 14. It's time to receive the Spirit that Jesus said God gives abundantly and freely to everyone who asks, not just those who think they're holier than the rest. It's anyone who wants him, he'll come and live with. It's time to practice his presence. Shall we do that this term, day in, day out? Pray, ask when we wake, say, "God, please fill me with your Spirit. Come, overwhelm me." In our small groups, pray for one another. Socially distanced, maybe. Maybe sometimes even to lay hands on one another. And just to say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fill us again. We need you. Overwhelm us." I believe God has overwhelming experiences of his presence for us in this season. So let me pray and I'll finish. Father, I just want to thank you for your love. And I thank you for this story that we find ourselves living. It's so full of joy, Father. I can burst with it. My prayer is that we'd all burst, Lord God, with joy in this season as we know we're loved by you, as we know that living with you is your desire. You always has been. And you demonstrate that again and again, not least nearly 50 years ago when your Spirit was poured out on those teenagers. We say, do it again, do it differently, but do it again. Help us to grow in our understanding of your love and of your kindness, and help us to walk in the power of your Spirit, Lord God, and bring your presence, to be those apostles, to be people who bring the presence of your kingdom, who bring Jesus to everyone that we meet. I pray for all my friends out there, Lord God, that pray for us all, that we would know you and be overwhelmed. That's the only right response, to be overwhelmed. Your love stretches higher than the heavens are above the earth, and your favor is towards us. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus.